Blog Talk Radio.
Truth is out there, voice of the people. That really wasn't. That was our original theme song that we usually play. We were going to do something with Tom Petty because the left hates it, but we'll play that later. It just didn't happen. I want to introduce you to my co-host, Scarlett. How you doing, Scarlett?
I am great. Good evening, Joe. How are you?
All right. We're going to have to work with our technicians, people in the front office to get that switched around, but we'll take care of it on time. And before I introduce you to everyone to our great guest, someone I met in person back at the Riverside Hotel where we had Bob Sutton's thing, and it was also my guest as well. She's a very good candidate. I want to introduce you to her first. But we do have good news. Our radio show has been picked up. It's now working with OIN. So we'll be simulcast in some ways to OIN Network. That's One American Network. And we've been picked up by then. And it's great news as we expand. Now to our guest. She is a very energetic young lady, which I've met in person at the Riverside Hotel, the Christmas party for Robert Sutton's group, and also will be involved with Galoopies at Americans for Trump, Scott Newmark's thing next month, in a debate with the other candidates in running 22. She's a friend of mine. She's energetic. She's actually beautiful. Her name is Jessie Melton. How you doing, Jessie?
I'm great after that introduction, Joe. Thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Jessie, you're running in CD22, correct?
That's right.
Can you tell our listeners a little bit about the 22nd District and who you're running against?
Sure. So the 22nd District starts in Boca, which is part of Palm Beach County. It starts in eastern Boca, and it runs down the east coast, down the 95 corridor through Pompano, Deerfield, Fort Lauderdale, and then out to Coral Springs and Parkland. And I'm running against Ted Deutsch. He is the Socialist Democrat incumbent, a career politician. He's never really been challenged by a well-funded campaign. And, he votes in lockstep with Nancy Pelosi every single time. And, he wants your guns. He wants... your First Amendment rights, and he's, he is everything that Nancy Pelosi is.
Let me go into a couple of details for you, but before we do that, we got to take care of the controversies of the last few weeks. I want to leave the virus alone for a minute. We're going to go the other way. Right now, you see what's happening around the country. You see what's happening in Seattle and in Minnesota and Atlanta. And what's your take on what's happening with and the Democrats' support of defunding the police?
Well, that's not a realistic movement. I think even the Democrats who are trying to exploit people to raise money for Act Blue, their fundraising mechanism, I think that they know that, you know, defunding the police is not a reality, but they're preying on people who have had, you know, run-ins with the police or people who might not look at them favorably, or even some people who have gotten a ticket and don't like police because of that. You know, I think that this was all strategic. They started off with coronavirus and crippling conservative fundraising by going after the conservative fundraising base, which is small businesses. Small businesses in America made up over 42% of the output of the economy. And, you know, small business owners in large part are conservatives and they support conservative candidates. So they were very strategic in crippling conservative fundraising. And then they pivoted to the Black Lives Matter movement and defund the police. And if you go to contribute to any of those causes, it runs you straight to Act Blue, which is their fundraising mechanism similar to Win Red for the Republicans. And so they've extracted as much money out of the Black Lives Matter movement as they can, and then they moved to defund the police, and then now they're pivoting back to coronavirus again, and now we've got jurisdictions talking about mandating masks and shutting down businesses again.
Yeah, that's because one of the things is, as we improve our testing and as we increase testing, we're going to find more people with viruses. But the thing is, those viruses have been around for a while now, and most of the people overcame it and are basically healthy, but because they had the virus, they still could be registered. So all these increased cases might be old cases that are being reported. Any comment?
Well, yeah, I mean, like any cold, it works its way through a population. It's the same thing with the flu. So, you know, my understanding is that this thing made its way over here the fourth quarter of last year, and a lot of people had it before. My son and I actually had it before they were making a big deal about it. They were making it seem like it was the zombie apocalypse. And I went up to CPAC in D.C. at the end of February, and as soon as I came back, he and I both got sick, and, you know, it was like, I wasn't sure if it was strep throat or the flu. The symptoms were a little different than what I was used to, but it was no worse than, you know, a cold or the flu. And then later we ended up getting tested for the antibodies and finding out that was in fact what we had. It's just the panic and hysteria hadn't started quite yet. So, I mean, yeah, we're ramping up testing. We've created a lot of tests. We've distributed them. It's taken a long time to do it. So, yeah, anybody with an antibody, they're docking as those numbers, and they're doing anything they can to support their narrative. And the more people you test, the more people have had it. And in my opinion, that just goes to show it's not as bad as they said it was. You know?
There you go. It's not really. We're going to find out over the next month, a few months to a couple of years, that all those people that so-called the 100,000, a little over 100,000 that died, most of them died from other diseases like heart and others and congestion, you know, lungs or whatever it may be, but not necessarily the virus itself. And you're going to see the numbers get cut down practically in half, probably. But
I had a conversation with the a leader from Boca Medical, who said that since this whole thing started, they had, you know, documented 30 deaths. And I said, okay, well, you know, what about that CDC guideline? Is that in fact true? Because I read it, and he said, yeah, the CDC guideline says that even if they haven't been tested or confirmed to have had COVID, we can list it as the primary cause of death because it's called I want to say it's called something like UI, under investigation. So the cause of death was being investigated, and if they didn't know what the cause of death was, automatically they were told to list it as that. So he said, you know, those 30 probably would be significantly reduced if we actually truly knew whether or not any of these people had it. And the average age of death was 83 years old, I think is what he said. So, I mean, that's a cold, that's the flu, I mean.
Yeah, the older you get, the more likely you're going to die from various diseases because your immune system is different as you get older. And that's fact. Also hit certain areas harder than others because of other conditions in the system. But with that put aside, based on what you saw yesterday in the rallies, do you support opening up the businesses and opening up Florida and CD22 like it's starting to do with Ron DeSantis? Do you support his method, or is there something else you would have done differently?
Well, from the very beginning, Joe, I would I don't believe that it was ever government's role or that government ever had the authority to close businesses down. To put it very simply, I think that our sole obligation in leadership was to provide, you know, education, but more than that, provide safe, you know, places for people to quarantine, provide, make sure they had safe quarantine, they had the resources that they need. And then the rest of us who, you know, were not scared of it, or, you know, our risk-benefit told us, you know what, we know we might get, you know, catch this virus, but we still want to go operate our businesses. We still want to go provide for our families, and that's a freedom that we have as Americans. And so we never had any business, you know, the government never had any business shutting businesses, you know, down. And so the faster we get back to it never being their place in the first place, then, you know, the faster we can get back to what we need to do.
The other thing is that we are getting a lot of complaints, like the rallies. You can't hold a rally. You can't have 20,000 people or 50,000 people at a location. Everybody should get the virus. In fact, the left were calling yesterday's rally as the Corona rally, to try and scare people. But I'll tell you, from the people I talked to that went, nobody was sick. And the people that didn't go, it wasn't the virus that stopped them. It's the violence and the thugs and the terrorists that stopped them because they were afraid. Even the CPAC Schlapp, that family, some of the family was supposed to go over to the rally, and they pulled back because there was a credible threat. That's one of the reasons why they didn't do the outside.
Right, yeah. They're trying to stop it at all costs. They're trying to stop our fundraising. They're trying to stop our spirit. They're trying to stop our energy. They're you know, I wouldn't put it past them to do anything at this point. I mean, that's what happens they really start to figure out that they're losing power. And we're obviously onto something that they're scared of us turning over. And so you're seeing their worst behavior right now. It's all predictable.
Like ALC and the squad celebrated the fact they used TikTok, which is a ticket agency run and owned by communist China of all people, and that's been exploiting the youth, paid for partly by George Soros and the DNC, to interfere with the ticket sales and recruiting of people to go at rallies. And they celebrated, they were literally online admitted that they used TikTok to try and interfere and show that, look what we did. Look, the reason why they didn't show up was because of that, which they don't understand that every time, every ticket that's gone and everyone that goes into a rally has to pass a Secret Service screening as you walk in. Otherwise, you can't go in. You know, and they don't realize that, but that was it, and the scare tactics. So basically, AOC and others admitted to using foreign influences to interfere with an election, which is a felony.
Well, yeah, it's actually high treason as well. But you know,
yeah, I tell you, Scott,
time and time again, they can get away with all of it.
Yeah, Scott.
You know, for
wants
who
them
did
home.
Not go to that rally last night, they made up watching it. What was the final estimate, Joe, on the
On the computer? Okay, Right Side Broadcasting. You know who Right Side Broadcasting is, Jesse, right?
Yeah, that's
RSBN.
How I watch
yeah.
It.
That, okay, mm-hmm. Right Side Broadcasting for the first time in their history, and they've been around doing every rally since 2016. They broke the 100,000 mark in actual on the one thing. They end up with 4.2 million people on the three platforms. All online service platforms that covered the rally was over 10.1 million. Not counting cable TV and others. So, you know, they might have stopped the upper deck, but we have a lot of resources for people to get and watch the rally anyway, so they couldn't stop us to begin with. What would you do as a congresswoman to prevent something like this from happening so we don't have interference while elections?
To prevent, could you clarify your question? To prevent what from
deliberate interference from outside governments from elections, like what the DNC and AOC and the Democrats actually did last night, using Congress China.
We have to identify it. We have to be, you know, going back, first and foremost, before you go and you run for auction or for office and you get into office, you can't have any ties to any sort of money that's got you in there. You can't have anybody's hooks in you. You have to have allegiance to the American people and the American people only. And then, therefore, when you get in there and you see something that threatens the American dream or the well-being of the American people, you identify it. You uncover it, and you expose it to everyone, and then you go through the due process and the lawsuits and whatever you need to do to make sure that it's eliminated. You don't drop the ball. You don't, you know, you've got to rally people together. I mean, I made a career out of getting people in the same boat and rowing in the right direction. So developing cell phone towers, you have, you know, endless, different items in the process that can fall apart at any time. That could kill the entire development deal. You have to keep everything moving. You can't let balls drop. And you have to be able to make sure everybody's working towards the same cause. And so that's the same thing when we identify some sort of interference like that, we have to, you know, be able to attack it. And then the other component of it is, what exactly is foreign interference? Foreign interference, exposing something from the other side, exposing what someone does or what someone is hiding, and then allowing the voter to decide for themselves, to me, is not foreign interference. Manipulating the vote, you know, getting in the way of, you know, rallies and things like that, like you're discussing, I mean, that's grade A foreign interference. You know, I don't, even the things they were accusing President Trump of when it came to the Hillary Clinton campaign, even if that had been true, giving the American people information so they can decide for themselves is not foreign interference. American people can decide for themselves. We're not stupid. So
that's the key. Now, it goes a little bit local, more or less. And CD-22 is along the coast of Florida, of Palm Beach and Broward County. And there's a lot of references to the beaches and flooding and so-called climate change and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. In order to be Ted Deutch, you're going to have to face that issue. How would you explain how you could overcome Ted Deutch's so-called drive on that and defeat him and also help the citizens in CD-22?
Which is really easy to, anything that comes out of his mouth is easy to debunk because it's false. And that's why he doesn't like debating anyone. He and Lois Franklin have both refused to debate any of their conservative or Republican opponents. But up in District 18, I think Keith and 18, Brian Mass, You know, the Democrats want to debate Brian Mast, a sitting member of Congress. You know, they don't want to debate because they know that they're going to get body slammed. They know that they're lying. They know that it's really easy to dismantle their argument. So, for instance, you guys know that there were, what, you know, 8 sewage leaks since Christmas time in Fort Lauderdale from crumbling infrastructure that's been neglected because tax money always makes its way into Broward officials, and the same thing with the schools. It makes its way into the pockets of Broward officials instead of into the infrastructure that it's being taxed for. And so we had multiple sewage leaks, and there was, you know, sewage all over the streets in beautiful neighborhoods of Fort Lauderdale, polluting the intracoastal, which has done damage that we haven't even heard anything about. It's like complete silence about all the E. coli contamination in the intracoastal waterway. And Ted Deutch, his response to it was to call for carbon taxes and blame it on climate change. I mean, come on, right there, he makes himself look like a goon. So, you know, you tell the truth and say the theft is going to stop. You know, we're going to have transparency and accountability with where this money is going. The Broward corruption is just, I mean, it's rampant, but everybody knows it's there. We just got to actually take it on and stop being passive and stop standing on the sidelines, roll up our sleeves, expose it, and do something about it. It's not rocket science, you know?
No, the corruption goes to corruption, Broward County, as far as what you're talking with the pipes and stuff, goes back to Dean Tinteres. He was, before he was mayor, he was actually commissioner, and a lot of these pipings that broke, and basically was bought by him early on as a commissioner, and it was inferior products. There is a lot of questions on his ethics, basically, integrity, and the corruption involving Dean going back a while, including monies that was scared to help the homeless and other stuff. And he's one of the mayors that I asked the Justice Department to look into the corruption thing, because a lot of people, you go into parts of Fort Lauderdale, it stinks because of the leakage of the sewage. And the water must be really bad to drink and to bathe in. And it's not just that. There's money, like you said, with education, with Runcie, there was money missing going back for school supplies to the security. You know, there was millions of dollars that was allocated to beef up security before Stoneman Douglas, and all they did was sprinkler system, and that disappeared. And now the teachers' union, they were expecting raises for the teachers, and that money disappeared. When Morales, which I'm pissed off, had Runcie at Breck, and one of the things I went after him was that we need an independent audit on the monies that's missing, and he turned that white as a sheet, and he's black. So you as a congresswoman, how would you find ways on the federal level to try and expedite to eliminate this corruption in your district?
Well, look, these are the same people that are formulating, you know, task force using over $300 million worth of CARES money to go after businesses who are violating CDC recommendations and guidelines. So, you know, we could have task force to look into that for a fraction of what they're using to go after the American people, and that's what we'll do. We're going to go after them. We're going to go after them really hard, and they know it. That's why they're fighting so viscerally. That's why Brenda Snipes was, you know, helping to steal elections in Broward County, because it runs so deep and you're asking the right questions, but these people have just gotten so arrogant because they've been getting away with it for so long. They're doing it in plain sight, and then people are allowing them to do it because, you know, it's just, well, the swamp is just there. It's just, it is how it is. I'll be darned if I'm going to sit here and watch one of the most beautiful districts in the country turn into the next Baltimore or San Francisco. So that's exactly why I'm running, to shed light on it, to draw attention to it. And I'm not scared of them. Too many people are scared of them. I'm not.
CARE donates a large percent of money to Ted Deutch's campaign.
Who?
CARE.
CARE. donate.
That's the Islamic group. CAIR. Black Lives Antifa, Black Lives Matter, CAIR, Hamas, and the Muslim Brother all tied together to funding for each other, and that's been documented.
And they just signed
he just signed a letter. He and three other members signed a letter warning Israel of the repercussions of a possible annex of. I think it was the West Bank, and in advocating for a Palestinian state to preserve peace over there. So he's completely turned his back on the constituents that were counting on him to be pro-Israel. He sits on the Foreign Affairs Committee with Ilhan Omar, refuses when asked 27 different ways if she should step down because she supports BDS and seeing Israel driven into the sea, and he will dance around the question. He won't answer it. He supports her.
Didn't Ted Deutsch be part of the Ethics Committee, too?
Yeah, he actually sent a letter to me personally threatening me if I didn't produce my personal financial disclosure statement that they would impose a $61,000 fine or turn me over to the Department of Justice for criminal prosecution because he had just been busted. He and Lois Frankel were caught to have oil pipeline investments, and they were caught. It was found on their personal financial disclosure statements, and they immediately divested them, citing climate concerns. And then 3 weeks later, after the story broke, he sent a letter to me personally, my home, saying, from the ethics or the Judiciary Committee, rather, saying that he was fining me $200. And reminding me of, their role and who he was on the Ethics Committee and saying if I didn't turn over my personal financial disclosure statement, they were going to impose that fine or criminal prosecution. And then when COVID hit, he sent me another one.
See, he's as crook as you could get, him and Lois Frankel and Debbie Wasserman Schultz, another one. We have very good candidates running in 21, and we have very good candidates in running in 22, and in 23. We actually have a candidate, at least one candidate running in every district here, 20, 21, 22, 23, and 24. But right now, focusing on 22, Jesse, how would you take on the gun lobby and protect the Second Amendment?
Well, I mean, we shouldn't even be having a discussion about it. I would be slapping lawsuits on any, governors or municipal leaders who are even discussing infringing on that constitutional right. I mean, we shouldn't have even let it get this far.
Okay, how about the First Amendment, religious freedom and free speech?
I mean, it's the same thing. We're going to have to beat them in the high... Yeah, we're going to have to there are processes in place to protect those, and so we're going to have to, take it to the courts and do what we have to do. I mean, up until recently, I was thinking we were in a really great leveraged position in the high courts, but then we've seen some of these, quote-unquote Republican Supreme Court judges turn a blind eye to the things that, they were appointed to defend. So, we'll have to slap lawsuits on everything. We're just going to have to fight, I mean, we do have God on our side, so...
What would you tell the people in 22 about DACA and those people that here technically illegally and got a mini pardon, so to speak, from the Supreme Court? Actually, the Supreme Court kind of retracted some of that decision and punted and allowed Trump to refile or expand on his briefs. So there's a second bite on that same apple.
Well, I just received Maria Espinoza from the Remembrance Project's endorsement, and you know, look, we were looking at a path for those who were brought here by no fault of their own, and you know, but in exchange, we were looking for border security, you know, through a physical border wall and technology and enforcement of, you know, current immigration laws and support of, you know, immigration and customs enforcement. And so, you know, we're sitting here. President Trump's been ready to resolve that and help these people, but the Democrats care too much about, you know, ushering in, you know, things over the border that don't belong, human trafficking, drugs, all of those things. You know, they want to control the popular vote. That's more important to them than helping these DACA recipients to, you know, prepare for their future. And so, I mean, you know, we're here, we're ready. Democrats are in your way.
As a congresswoman, Democrats, right now, the Democrat House wants to pass a bill this week that will destroy our police. Republican congressman and congresswoman will hopefully fight hard to defeat it. We must protect and cherish our police. They keep us safe. That just came from Donald Trump himself, that he tweeted. As a congresswoman, if that was brought up, what would you do?
Well, I'm going to support, you know, similar to what the president said. I mean, like I said, I think a lot of that is noise anyway. I think it's people trying to get attention and trying to raise money under something that is not realistic and that even they don't want to happen. They want to fund the police. I mean, look, if you're a Democrat, look in Broward County. Look at how much money ran through Scott Israel's regime, how much dirty money ran through that. You know, they don't want to defund the police.
Including Cheetah, $50,000 for Cheetah, which is owned by the mob, went right to mm-hmm. Scott Israel's campaign. Scott Israel and also Sheriff Tony are both being investigated by the Justice Department as we speak, and both of them are under federal investigation for various reasons, including fraud.
Yeah,
but
well,
the thing is,
Israel had 50 pastors on his payroll, and they all drove their own vehicles. 50 pastors of black congregations were on his payroll,
yeah,
and as soon as he was relieved of his duties, those contracts ended.
Yeah, and those same pastors are now endorsing him once again because they're looking for the kickbacks. The Justice Department knows each one of those pastors, and they're all of them are under federal investigation. That race, the sheriff, is all screwed up anyway. I am working closely with Wayne Clark, and together as a team, Wayne will become the next sheriff because his integrity, and we're exposing the corruption, like you mentioned, and we are going to take and clean up Broward County, and together we're going to make Broward County safe again and legit. The thing is, right now, as far it takes a lot of people. Would you, by any chance, just for the hell of it, would you take a knee for these thugs, or would you stand for the flag?
You know what?
If
one of them was my son, I'd go pick him up by his ear and dig my fingernails in and tell him to stand up for his country and all the people that died for him. Otherwise, go live somewhere else.
There you go. Because that's crazy, you know, and that's what we've been saying. Both Wayne and I both said the same thing. The only thing that we will kneel for is our God, and that's it.
That's right.
And that's it, because we stand for our flag, we stand for our national anthem, we stand for our country, because we are American, and that's how we're going to do it. Let's go back into CD22, especially in Palm Beach County, in Pompano, as well as Deerfield Beach, and as well as parts of Fort Lauderdale, there's a very high drug problem.
Mm-hmm.
The pipelines from from West Palm Beach into Palm Beach County, from Lake Worth all the way down into Pompano, through Fort Lauderdale, down to Davie and drug den in Cloud 9, as well as all the way into Miami. There was, in that drug trade, there are corrupt like Scott Israel and El Tony, as well as corrupt mayors such as Judy Paul of Davie, who actually took kickbacks involving drugs, which we have evidence in this, and the feds have already indicted her on that, as well as the parts of the Davie PD, parts of the BSO was also corrupt. What would you do to try at, on the federal level to eliminate this type of corruption and this type of drug trade to save lives in your community, because drug addiction and ODs are on the rise?
Yeah, well, I mean, you have two different things there. You know, you have the money and, you know, the money laundering side of it, which, you know, we just discussed before that, you know, all of these things are going to have to be tackled and we're going to have to come at them hard. But then the other part of it is just leadership, you know, instilling, you know, God back into government and our schools and, you know, being there for children who don't have parents around. You know, Ted Deutch stops by the Boys and Girls Club, drops off some books and takes pictures and then leaves. You know, we should be supporting organizations similar to, you know, Big Brothers and Big Sisters of America. And then, you know, we've got 480-some members of Congress that could be, you know, we could have more mentorship programs. Look, there are so many fatherless children out there that are turning to the streets or gangs or drugs. You know, there are plenty of us around that can pick up the slack and speak life over these kids who don't have their parents around. That one of the biggest issues in Broward County is parentlessness. And, you know, so we have an obligation as a community to do something about it, you know, to teach them how to achieve the American dream, to speak life over them so that they don't, you know, they're not victims of perpetual poverty and just, you know, the welfare system that seeks to keep them dependent on government in order to make itself relevant. So there's a lot that needs to be done to field out the corruption, but there's a people in Broward County are looking for a leader. They're looking for somebody to follow that's going to give them hope, and that's what I intend to give them. But on that note, Joe, it is actually Father's Day, and I'm going to go take my father to dinner. He's waiting for me.
Okay, why don't you do me a favor and tell everyone your website and where to stop volunteering and donate to you.
Sure, yeah. So it's votejesse.com, and that's Jesse with one I, votejesse.com. You can find me on all social media. If you just Google my name, I'm on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. My Facebook is Jesse for Congress, Jesse for U.S. Congress, rather. And, yeah, I can't do, you know, like you mentioned, we're up against an establishment candidate with unending funds, but that doesn't mean with strategy and God on our side that we can't beat them with our righteous values, but it's going to take an army. I cannot do it by myself. I need the help of the people. So thank you for having me.
Thank you, and tell your father that we wish you a happy Father's Day, and God bless you, and you're going to do great here in CD22. Just tell you, and just keep your energy and your story, and you're going to do great.
Thank you, Joe, and thank you, Scarlett. Happy Father's Day to you, Joe.
Thank you. Have a great
thank
evening.
Thank you. Okay, have a great you. Evening. Enjoy.
You too.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. That was Jesse Mountain. She's running in CD22. A very lovable individual. She's really good. She knows what she's doing, and she also is on the line of the corruption here in Broward County as well. We're going to play the song that we're supposed to start off with, and then I'm going to come back and talk about things as soon as it comes. Hold on. Here we go.
Turn
Dallas, we are not going to back down, and we're going to play that song, and I don't care what Tom Petty's estate is talking about. As soon as they put that on YouTube, it becomes public material, not private material. They allocated their hold on it the minute it went public and kept on YouTube. So unless they get off the air on YouTube or iTunes or anything like that, and start charging for it, they cannot have any say for it. We will not back down. We are right. We are American. We are America First. We are Make America Great Again. And we are going to keep America great. And we're going to stand up for our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, our founding principles. We will stand for values, morals, respect of the law. We believe in family values and morality. We believe we are right to life. We believe in the sanctity of life. We also believe and support all lives matter. And that includes blue lives, military lives, white lives, black lives, yellow lives, Italian lives, Spanish lives, Jewish lives, everyone under the sun. We believe in life and all life. Your human beings are worth a matter. They are matter. They are life. They are precious. That's what matters. As soon as the egg and the sperm hits the egg, that is life and it is precious. And we believe in life. So all lives matter. Now, Scarlett, you got anything to say?
I was thinking about what Ted Deutch is doing to Jesse Melton with his thuggery with that paperwork.
It's not unheard of. It's been done before.
What does he want to do? See your taxes?
What he's doing is trying to, he's a bully, and he's trying to intimidate her because he feels that she's a threat to him and his, and him
obviously,
being in office.
Obviously, because he's doing it.
And if that's true, he's probably
he's
also
his,
doing
he's
to Darlene.
His feathers.
Look, he knows, and every Democrat knows.
That was his first mistake he did.
Every Democrat is worried right now because they know that the American people are not with Black Lives Matter or Antifa or the coronavirus or any of the peace or anything else. They want representatives that are actually going to represent them.
Right.
What Ted Deutch is doing is trying to intimidate candidates like Jesse by having the so-called IRS weapon. Very well known and very well done. Bill
can't
Clinton
use
used
it.
To
Trump
do
won't allow it.
Right. But Bill Clinton was famous for that. This is the Clinton machine that's part of. And
so
that's what this is.
We tell Trump. Trump will tell the IRS. The IRS will go after Ted Deutch.
Look, fine. But again, politicians like Ted Deutch, Tony, like Debbie Wasserman Schultz, and I got something for Debbie. Debbie, we know that you're behind the stuff that's happening in Broward County, especially with the Me Too movement and Linda Mandola. I promise you, you think I was a badass when we went after you in 2010 and 2011 and 12? And we did the town hall. You think I'm a badass, Dan? Watch. I am, with this radio show, we're now syndicated nationwide. In fact, this show could go worldwide because of Block Talk. We also out there with campaigning for sheriff. I may not be the candidate, but I am still part of the campaign. My exposure and my ideas and my investigative materials and instincts and years experience, which you know about, were coming down on you hard. My suggestion, and it's a big one, start representing all of your constituents or or drop out of the race and lawyer up. Because I'm telling you, every law, and I know Tim Canova is working with me because I worked with him before, and I know other people in here. And we know that you're crooked as you can be. We know that you're a thug. We know that you're anti-Israel because you support Ilhan Omar and don't say a word. We know that you're a Me Too movement and throwing every male under the sun. What you're doing to Mr. Siegler and others because of Linda Mandola and the so-called Me Too movement, if Mr. Siegler dies because of this, I guarantee you'll be charged with murder. And since you intended to do that, it becomes felony murder, and that's the death penalty. And I promise you, you will get it legally, because we're not breaking the law here. But I promise you, every bit that the federal government, the Justice Department, with recommendation, which we sent in twice in the last week, to investigate every inch of you, that you hit my guts before, you really gonna hit my guts now. You hurt and you crossed the line.
Him? Can she counter him with the money he takes from care?
Look, okay, she could try and open up that he's receiving money from an unindicted co-conspirator, a terrorist attack, and a terrorist organization in care, and which is also tied directly into Antifa and the Black Lives Matter and elsewhere. She could work on that, and she could do that, and she has, because I know Jesse already. I know Jesse. I know Darlene Swapa. And Jim Gruden, that will be on another day. All three of them have the same idea because they know how corrupt Broward County is and CD22 with Ted
Doig.
Doesn't
matter who wins, it doesn't matter that he loses.
Right. Alcee Hastings is another one. He's an impeached
judge.
That's only, you know, these are all corrupt. Robert Runcie stealing millions from the teachers union, from the students, from the families, every single family.
Take
that
Broward
has a
County
child
back.
In Broward County. He is stealing that. We have
Supervisor of Elections, that person is running on the Republican ticket. How
the
are
young
they
lady,
doing?
She's doing fine. We gotta try and get her on. But the point is, and it's a very big point.
The point
is,
if you
time,
get a Democrat in the Supervisor Elections,
you're in trouble.
Brenda Snipes.
Right. We need the people to understand, and they are waking up. And as far as the black community, most of the black community is conservative in nature. They're pro-life, they're church-going, they're hardworking. All they want is their children to grow up and have an opportunity.
Small
percentage. You'll be surprised.
They vote and vote these idiots back in.
Except now it's starting to change. And the reason why they're using these Black Lives Matter and other stuff, because they know that the black vote is heading towards Trump. You should see what the CNN tried to do with one of the people from Black Voices and the NALA group last day. They tried and they got screwed because the black community is starting to wake up and they realize that school choice is better than no choice. And they and able to get a better education will be a great way to improve life and to restore the family values. These are church-going people. For the most part, these people have families, and they have heart, and they have love, and they work hard, and they're talented, and they're going out and do their thing. And they don't want handouts. They want to make their own money and have their own businesses. And they are there, and they are growing, and they don't need government to interfere. They are cutting the chains of slavery by the Democrats and moving to the party of Abraham Lincoln, of freedom and choice to go to public school or to a private school, choice to go to the better school, choice to make them go left instead of right or right instead of left. The medical conditions that they can have, the choice of having the health care that's based on what they need, not what the government's telling
you
to do.
You saw last night, right? You saw all the people in that crowd last night. Majority of them weren't wearing masks. Nobody was coughing. Nobody was sick. So it's all crap now. They can open up everything. People are not getting sick.
The numbers that you see
is
reported numbers.
They're keeping it shut down because they want to control.
I've been telling people, these restaurants that in Miami, that the Miami mayor is shutting down because of the so-called virus thing, or violations of the mask thing.
Shut down restaurants again?
Yeah, there's like 8 restaurants that they shut down. They closed
Why?
That because the people aren't wearing masks or something like that. The workers, and so
the
they shut down.
Why?
The governor is going to intervene. Tomorrow's making a speech ordering all restaurants open fully and not to listen to the mayors. Meanwhile,
what happens if the mayor tells them to go scratch?
He would have the FDLE to arrest the mayor. The thing is, the mayors, we know that at least 3 restaurants have filed a multi-million-dollar lawsuit against the mayor and the city of Miami.
Good.
And there's going to be a lot more. And these businesses got to go out and sue and do what they have to do to open and survive and not listen to the left-wingers. This is like she
Hard
said.
Rock Cafe can open. All sports can open. Bars can open. You know, bowling alleys can open.
This is, there are people in Publix now not wearing masks anymore because they can't breathe. So they're taking putting the mask down below them.
I told you it's a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah, people are getting sick from the mask, not without the mask.
And why should I get sick for no reason when there's nothing wrong with me?
Right.
Don't you think it's
now,
my freedom to choose how I want to live my life?
Okay, I understand that. We're going to leave it at that now because we got 6 minutes left, and I want to go over a couple of things beforehand. One is that Wednesday, we're going to have a very special guest, Todd Allen Herndon. He is famous for the song My Name is America, and he'll be playing it. But what else besides that, he has a club called Todd Allen Herndon Club in Panama City. That's his business. But he also is famous for something else besides gospel and country singing. He's famous for doing impressions as he sings. He sings songs from Roy Orbison, from Johnny Cash, and from Elvis, and he does a great Elvis. And then we have on Sunday, Thomas Stevens is an author, and he did a fictional book about God and Jesus in a different perspective. And it's unique, and he will be talking on that. I'm meeting up with him during the week, next week. The other thing is, on the 26th, there is a forum that Ted Victor had me on the first time. He's asking me to come on anyway. Wayne Clark said that it will help him if I do come on. So I may just do it anyway and see. And what's going to do is I'm going to go in not as a candidate as Joe Golner running for sheriff, but Joe Golner helping Wayne Clark. But I'm going to go in to go after Scott Israel and Sheriff Tony and do it at that. And I'm going to leave it with a great endorsement, but I'm going to leave it in the point to expose those two as a fraud. And then the week after, we got Al Pollack on. As Al Pollack is running on the Democrat side. And I promise you, I'm going to talk about his time with Sheriff, with Scott Israel, because he's a colonel. He was a colonel in the VSO. And we're going to go over details from Alan Berry to Scott Israel. We're going to ask him, if we saw all these bad things going on, why didn't you step up and change it? And with that, before we leave, since we got a few seconds, I want to thank my guest, Jesse Melton. I want to thank my co-host, Scarlett. And I want to say something really big. When you make a phony false police report, it is a felony. Somebody could get killed. Somebody gets killed responding to the false report, and they get killed when the real thing happens. You could get charged with first degree murder. Linda Mandola, I'm making my business because you hurt the wrong people. I'm going to make sure you put in an institution for the rest of your life. I want to say God bless you all. And Debbie Wasserman Schultz, you're next. Have a great day. See you Wednesday.
Just my children and my wife. Thank my lucky stars to be living here today. 'Cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say, there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the